Well, welcome, welcome, welcome. We're wrapping up our series on supernatural, and it's been fun. Last week was Satan and demons. This week we're talking about angels. Now, I just thought I'd share this with you as humbly as I can. Our staff decided that we should probably choose which pastor to teach these final 2 weeks and base it on, you know, typecasting. And so they voted and chose unanimously that Pastor Tyler should teach about demons. And then, you know, they voted and unanimously they said that I probably was the most angelic of our pastoral staff. And so humbly, I thought I should share that with you, and I'm going to be teaching on angels today. Actually, if you know me, that's way far from the truth. But the truth is, I drew the short straw for today, because I hardly know any pastors who teach on this subject very often. In fact, I've been doing this nearly in some capacity or another, teaching in local churches for about 30 years. And this is the first time I can remember about teaching, taking a whole block of a message and teaching on angels. And so this is a stretch for me, you guys, because prior to probably 3 years ago, I literally would have answered a lot of the same questions the same way that our kids did from River Kids. So just a little review here. So this is where we're at with this series. We started out, the series title is Supernatural, and we said this, that what you see, what we see right now in this physical world that we live in, what we see is not all that there is. There actually is a spiritual realm. And certainly, our Creator God can create things unseen just as easy as He can create things that are seen. He hung the sun and the stars and the moon into space and all the universe around us and created you and I. And the things that are seen, He can also create the things that are unseen. And so week one, we talked about this spiritual warfare. And the Bible talks specifically about that right now. There is a war going on for the souls of men and women across our land. And this war is taking place between Satan and his demons and the angels. And they are trying to gain a strategic position on your soul. The Apostle Paul talks about this when he writes a letter to the church in Ephesus. And he says this, for our struggle, your struggle, my struggle, our church's struggle, our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. And then we talked last week, or week before last, about the Holy Spirit. Not only do we have angels who are battling for us in the heavenly realms, but you, if you've put your hope and your trust and faith in Jesus Christ, the Bible talks about how God can indwell inside of you through the Holy Spirit. And the same power that raised Jesus from the dead is accessible to you if you've put your hope and trust in Jesus. That the same power that raised Jesus from the dead is the same power alive and at work inside of our hearts, doing battle against the dark forces of evil. And then in week three, last week, Pastor Tyler talked about Satan and demons. You know, Satan was actually created as the most beautiful, the most magnificent angel of all. And Satan thought so highly of himself, he thought himself more important than God. His pride caused him to rebel against God, but not only rebel against God, but to cause one-third of the angels that were ever created to rebel against God as well. So he, along with one-third of the angels, were cast out of heaven. That is what makes up Satan and the demons. Now, an early application for us this morning, we can actually learn a lot, you and I, from Satan himself. You've heard the statement that pride goes before the fall, right? Well, anytime we think we are more important than God, anytime we think we don't need God, anytime our successes, anytime our possessions or our beauty or our worship take on unhealthy characteristics, we are headed for a great fall. I've seen that happen to many great people. And think about this. This is mind-boggling. Think about this. Satan was created as an angel. He was created as a holy angel, but his pride caused his fall. Well, today we're going to talk about angels, and we're going to talk specifically about the good angels. One of the things I've noticed in our culture, especially the last couple decades, We're fascinated. We're just fascinated when it comes to the topic of angels. But yet, when you talk about it like in a real sense in church, it's like, woo, that's a little bit out there. It's a little bit weird. And even famous pastors didn't talk very often about angels. John Calvin's a famous pastor. Hardly ever hear this guy talk about angels. And I think the reason that we haven't talked about angels a lot in the church, I think there's a couple reasons. They're all throughout Scripture, from Genesis to Revelation. We see it, we sing it, we talk about it, and we mention it in passing. But the reason I think we're reluctant is because it's just strange. It's hard for our finite minds, it's hard for my finite mind to grasp some of the spiritual realm of things when we think about angels. I had people at the cafe after first service was talking to me, asking me questions. I mean, that's a fantastic question. And it's just, it's hard to wrap our minds around it. And some of the things just kind of seem weird. And it also seems like it's easier for us to talk about demons than it is for us to talk about angels. I don't know why, but that seems to be the case. But I think one of the other reasons that we don't talk about angels very often is angels are mentioned in the Bible from Genesis to Revelation over 200 times throughout Scripture. Over 200 times. And actually more times in the New Testament than even in the Old Testament. So we see angels all throughout the history of God's story to man over the 1500 year period that the Bible was written. So over 200 different accounts. But in my study, I have not found a single case or a single story where the storyline was around the angel. Every story where there's an angel, it is just the angel is a supporting cast to God's bigger story for what's going on in the world. And so I think because of that, and because it's just a little bit strange for us, I think we haven't talked about angels all that much. And so, but God talks about it. So we want to talk about angels and how it impacts us today. And I want to take us through just a brief look at angels. Now, when I first started, when I came up with this series idea, I was really excited about it. And then as I first started into angel study, I'm like, what in the world was I thinking? What am I going to say for 30 minutes about angels? The more I got into it, I realized we could do an 8-10 week series on angels alone. There's so much information about angels that I've been learning over the last several months in preparation for today. But what I'm going to end up doing today is sort of like a shotgun approach. I'm just going to fire a bunch of things out there. It's going to scatter out there, and it's just going to be a kind of a brief overview of angels. So the first thing I would just say is just kind of give us a little bit of knowledge about angels. Angels are created spiritual beings. They were created by God. They are glorious creatures. They are supernatural. They are eternal beings who live in the spiritual realm, and they carry out the ministry of God in the heavenly realm. I don't see anybody getting up and leaving yet. So, you know, if you're still with me here, it seems strange, I know, but God's Word talks about this. We don't know when they were created. The only thing that we know is that they were created actually before the earth and that God created them. Actually, Jesus Christ created them specifically. In the book of John, I'm going to use a lot of scripture today because I didn't want this to be about storytelling, about what I think about angel. I just want us to kind of look at God's Word. So I'm going to use a lot of scripture. But in the book of John, it says, in the beginning, the Word already existed. Who was the Word? Jesus. Jesus is the Word. In the beginning, Jesus already existed. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. So Jesus was from the very beginning, even before creation. He was with God. He existed in the beginning with God. God created everything through him, Jesus. And nothing was created except through Jesus. So Jesus actually, through God, created everything and is supreme commander over all, including the spiritual realm of angels. Colossians kind of supports this here in Colossians chapter 1. Paul says, Christ is the visible image. So he is God in the flesh. Christ is God in the flesh. He's the visible image of the invisible God. He existed, Jesus, existed before anything was created and is supreme over all creation. For through him, God created everything in the heavenly realms, including angels, and on earth. He made the things that we can see and the things that we can't see, such as thrones, kingdoms, rulers, and authorities in the unseen world. Everything was created through him and for him. I wish we could unpack more of the thrones and kingdoms and rulers and authorities in the unseen world, because what we see with angels is there's actually quite an order with angels. There's quite a hierarchy with angels in the organization on there. But what I want us to see today is that angels are like God's staff members. And there are millions upon millions upon millions of angels. They cannot die. They are eternal. They are created a little bit above us as humans in functionality, but they are lower than us in positionally. And we still have a higher place when we go to heaven. We will have a higher place than angels according to Scripture, because we have actually been created in the image of God. Angels were not created in the image of God. And when we die, for those people who have put their hope and trust and faith in Jesus Christ, we become joint heirs. We become joint heirs to the throne with Jesus. We become joint heirs with Christ for eternity. The same number of angels that were created at the very beginning, even before the earth, are the same number of angels that exist today. There are no new angels being born. They do not procreate. One of the myths that we hear, and you've probably heard this, maybe you've said it, it maybe even at a funeral or something where somebody has died, and in order to make people feel better, you kind of maybe say, they're now an angel watching over us. Maybe you've heard somebody say that. No, they're not. When you die, you do not become an angel. When we die, if we have put our trust and hope and faith in Jesus Christ, we will go to heaven, but we will actually be over the angels at that point. Angels are not these little fat, bald men, No offense to you bald men. But they're not these little fat, bald men that look like Danny DeVito with a bow and arrow, These are magnificent, glorious, and terrifying creatures. Revelations describes these creatures as having, there's certain classes of angels, but in some of the classes of angels in Revelations, you'll see that they have eyes all over their bodies, even under their wings, where they would have six wings and fire coming out of their bodies. These angels are terrifying. It's a whole lot different than the Valentine's Day card that you sent to your girlfriend, That's what these angels are. Very different than the way our world looks. These are magnificent, glorious, supernatural, eternal, terrifying beings. And primarily, angels aren't not meant to be seen, but occasionally, and again, this is very rare. It's very rare, but God allows an angel to cross from the spiritual realm into the visible realm. We see this throughout Scripture. In order to execute on a specific order of business of God, and angels also have the ability to take on the physical form of a human being. But even in that state, it appears through Scripture that their power is evident and overwhelming, even when they've taken on the human form. Because what's the first thing? We see this as a pattern all the way through Scripture. What's the first thing an angel says to someone when they appear visibly and physically to someone? What's the first thing they say? Do not be afraid, or fear not. Hey, don't be afraid. Why do they say don't be afraid? Because their power, their magnificence is outstanding. So angels are magnificent and can be terrifying. But apparently they can also mask their powers as well, and they can blend in with us. It's very possible that we see more angels around us than we realize. The Apostle Paul talks about this when he's writing to the Jews in Hebrews. He says, "Do not forget to entertain strangers, for by doing so, some people have entertained angels without knowing it." You might be seeing angels and you don't even know it. You might possibly be sitting next to an angel right now. Look at your spouse. do you think there's any chance that they could be an angel? Good. Good. Yeah. He graduated from the marriage conference we just did. Hey, I've wondered about this, though. I have wondered, like, if I read this scripture, I've wondered about how we treat those people that are marginalized, you know, in our society. Maybe the homeless people that you come into contact. Could it be that they are angels in our midst to see how we would treat them? So the next homeless person you encounter, could it be an angel? Just think about that. Although the majority of angels are unseen, and one of the reasons, as I began to study, it's one of the reasons that angels are invisible to us, I believe, is if angels were seen in their full form, it would be very tempting for you and I to worship the angels just because of their sheer power and beauty and magnificence. It would be tempting for us to worship them, because you and I, we are actually designed to worship. We have this innate desire inside of us to worship. So we do. We all are worshipers in this room. Every single one of us, every single person on planet Earth is a worshiper. We all worship something. We are designed to worship. Now, some people put their object of worship in the wrong places, but we are designed to worship. And so one of the reasons that a lot of scholars think that we don't see angels invisibly is because if we saw them, we would be tempted to worship them instead of directing our worship to the one and only true person that our worship deserves, and that's Jesus. In fact, the Apostle Paul talks about this very thing in the church in Colossae. The church there had been infiltrated with false teachers who were teaching this false gospel, and they were also teaching the worship of angels in their churches as a means to these people's spirituality. And so the Apostle Paul gives this warning, and this is the warning that he gives to them in Colossians chapter 2. He says, "Do not let anyone who delights in false humility and the worship of angels, don't let them disqualify you. There is only one," this is me adding this in, that Paul would say, "there is only one worthy of our worship, and that is Jesus Christ." So even as we talk about angels, it's so important for us to realize that our worship always goes towards Jesus. He goes on to say, such a person also goes into great detail about what they have seen. They are puffed up with idle notions by their unspiritual mind. So it's important for us not to make too big of a deal. As Christians, we shouldn't be seeking out angels. That's not our goal. We shouldn't be seeking out angels. In fact, we should be seeking out Christ. We should seek after Jesus. We should run hard after Jesus. We shouldn't be seeking after angels. That's not our design. We shouldn't put more emphasis on angels than angels deserve. However, it is important for us to occasionally take a look at this as a scripture, as Christians, as followers of Christ, to take a look and see what the Word of God says about angels, because we don't want to miss a huge help and a huge benefit that God has established for us. So, with that in mind, who are angels? What do they do? How do they play a role in our lives? And what is God's big plan with angels? And so I'm going to do that in about 10 minutes here, just to give you a taste of that. Number one, I've already talked to you about that, how we were designed for worship. We were designed to be worshipers. We were designed to worship God. You were created to actually worship God. Worship is not just singing. We could get into that another day. But the way that you ascribe worth to God, that's what you were designed for. You were designed to ascribe worth to God. Well, angels were designed as worshipers. Angels are worshipers. And they know the object. They know the proper object of their worship as well. It says in Hebrews 1:6, "And then, when he presented his honored son to the world, God said, 'Let all the angels of God worship him.'" So even the angels know that Jesus is the only one to whom our worship should be directed. And then here's in Revelation, it talks about the worship that happens all the time that's going on in the spiritual realm, even right now. John says, "Then I looked and I heard the voice of many angels, numbering thousands upon thousands and 10,000 times 10,000. They encircled the throne in a loud voice. They sang, 'Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and praise.'" So think about this. Every day since the beginning, before time itself, every day since angels were created, every day up until now, every day for millions and millions upon millions of years in the future, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year, 52 weeks, always, constantly, there is this praise of God going on, continually having this praise of God going on. Revelation says, each of the four living creatures, this is one of the classifications of, I feel like I'm way, you know, kind of diving off here, but this is one of the classifications. It says, each of the four living creatures had six wings and was covered with eyes all around, even under its wings. Day and night, they never stopped saying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." They were shouting this out all around the throne, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, millions and millions and millions of years. "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was, who is to come." Will you say that with me? "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." A little louder. "And holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." Shout it out. "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." That's awesome. All around God's throne, that's being shouted day and night. Number two, angels are warriors. Angels are warriors. They're warriors for God. Angels actually have the ability to affect physical battles just as much as spiritual battles. There's one fantastic, I mean, it's a fantastic account in history where there was one angel who killed 185,000 evil men. In 2 Kings, it says, "That night the angel of the Lord went out and put to death 185,000 men in the Assyrian camp." That's powerful. That's powerful. That's one. And there's millions upon millions upon millions upon millions of angels. And though a third of them fell out of heaven and went with Satan, that means two-thirds are with the Lord, with God, doing battle for you and for me. They also battle in the heavenly realm. It says, "And there was war in heaven." Michael, that's probably the most well-known, Michael and Gabriel, it's probably the most well-known angel, hierarchically, is that a word? He's probably the top guy. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, who is Satan. And the dragon and his angels, which are the demons, fought back. So we see this spiritual war that goes on as well. Number three, angels are messengers. Jesus, before he was coming to earth by the means of this young virgin Mary, it was an angel who reassured her of God's plan. Here's what it says in Scripture. We read this through every Christmas, right? "But the angel said to her, 'Do not be afraid. Mary, you have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus.'" Can you imagine this young, scared, 16-year-old little girl, and she's told that she's going to be pregnant. She's never been with a man before, and this is coming through the Holy Spirit. When you have something big like that happen in your life, you're going to get an angel. You're going to get an angel to deliver that news for you. And that's what happened. Mary had an angel come and deliver this news. So if you have something too big for you to swallow, good chances are God's going to speak to you in some way or another. He might send you an angel. And the angels also give us direction. Angels give us direction. Think about poor Joseph in this matter, you know. Here he is. He's engaged to Mary. He's about to be married. And engaged in that time was the same as being married, except you weren't allowed to be intimate. It was the same kind of commitment, even a commitment beyond what our culture doesn't even know. It was that was how committed they were. And then when she comes to Joseph and says, you're not going to believe this. And Joseph's, he's not going to believe it. And she says, but I'm going to be having a child. But before you start, it's not what you think. I haven't been with another man. This was God. God did this. You know, Joseph's no different than you and I, right? We would think the same thing. We'd go, yeah, I don't think so. And you start going through your mind. I think it might be Harry down on First Street. I saw the way he was looking at her, you know. And you start going through your mind. You're thinking about, so this is just a normal thing. And Joseph was going to, but he was going to still honor Mary. So he was going to break off the betrothal. And he was going to walk away quietly so as to not disgrace her. And he was going to take the shame even on himself. So he was a godly man here. But then God, when you're in a pickle like that, and God is the one that's working through you, he sends Joseph an angel. It says, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. So angels give us directions. Sometimes they give us literal directions, just physically literal directions. It says in Acts chapter 8, now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, go south to the road, the desert road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. So they're like the first GPS, you know. So this past week, I flew up to Kentucky for the last weekend. That's why I wasn't here Sunday. I flew up to Kentucky for my niece's wedding, and it was a great time with family, and it was just a quick trip. But we got there Friday, and my mom picked me up at the airport, and we're going to go to the rehearsal dinner for that evening. And I said, well, let's program this address in, because where my sister got married was in a horse barn. But don't think about that. Like, I'm from Kentucky, but don't think it's like this was a glorious horse barn. I mean, like, this thing had been converted in. It was amazing. But it was about 30 minutes away from Lexington in the middle of nowhere. And I said, well, let's put it in the GPS. And she said, oh, the GPS won't work, you know. I said, what do you mean the GPS? My GPS always works. She said, no, the GPS won't work. It'll take you around, and it'll take you to this place where a bridge is out, and it won't find the way. I went there yesterday. I know how to get us there, and I can give you directions. And so you drive, and I'll just tell you where to go. Okay. So we're driving. She's 30 minutes away. Well, it's about 45 minutes now, and we're not there yet. And this is backwoods Kentucky. I'm talking backwoods Kentucky, and now I'm starting to lose confidence that she knows where she's going. And there was this big S-turn. I mean, just this really sharpest S-turn in the road, you know. I said, Mom, did you see this big S-turn yesterday? Oh, yeah, we're on the right way. Okay. Mom, did you see this great big golf course right here? You know, did you see this golf course? Oh, yeah, we passed the golf course yesterday. It's a little further down the road. I said, and now we're getting further and further, you know. And so we had to come up on this big little lip thing over the railroad track, and then a sharp left turn down the side of the. I said, Mom, did you remember going over this railroad track like this yesterday? She said, yeah, I remember. This is the right way. We went over this railroad track yesterday. Okay. We came to this stop sign. There's the general store there. I said, Mom, did you see this general store and a stop sign yesterday? Yeah, we're going the right way. Each time her voice was getting a little less unsure. We come to another city, and there's these big, huge warehouse. We're in an industrial area now, you know, and this big warehouse. I said, Mom, did you see these big warehouse industrial complexes? She goes, Yeah, we passed right by here yesterday. I pulled off on the side of the road and said, Mom, you've never been here before in your life, have you? She goes, no. I got my GPS out, and I got us there. We were about a half hour late, you know. All right, I just threw that one in. I was for free. I had nothing to do. I had to throw a story in, you know that. All right, number two. Angels protect you from danger. Angels protect you from danger. Many people ask, are there guardian angels? I have that a lot. Are there guardian angels? Does everyone have a specific guardian angel? Well, let me just say the Bible's not real clear. It's not real specific about that in terms of details. If you have one guardian angel, or if you have many guardian angels, if your guardian angel changes or whatever. But it is specific that we have angels that are guarding over us. In Psalm 91, it says, "For he will command his angels. He will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone even." So, yes, we have guardian angels. Now, some of you, if you're like me, you may be asking the question, has my guardian angel fallen asleep on the job? You know? Because there are still so many believers that get harmed, right? And I don't have all the answers to this. It's a question that I've been wrestling with through this as well. But I just kind of have been thinking, perhaps our lives without angels, perhaps our lives could be filled with so much chaos that we couldn't even comprehend unless it was with the help of angels. And I know this, if you're a believer in Christ and have put your trust in him, God will send his angels to tend to you. Peter knows this when it says this in the book of Acts. "Suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared, and a light shone in the cell. He struck Peter on the side and woke him up. And this angel says, 'Quick, get up,' he said, and the chains fell off of Peter's wrists. Then the angel said to him, 'Put on your clothes and sandals,' and Peter did so. 'Wrap your cloak around you and follow me,' the angel told him. Then Peter came to himself and said, 'I now know without a doubt that the Lord sent his angel and rescued me from Herod's clutches.'" Which leads us to the third thing that angels do, is angels minister to us. Angels minister to us. Angels will minister to you. It says in Hebrews, "Are not all angels ministering spirits sent to serve those who will inherit salvation?" Think about this. Jesus had gone through all these temptations with Satan. He had fasted for 40 days in the desert. 40 days with no food at all. Some of you know Pastor Oscar from Nairobi Chapel. He's our partner church in Kenya. And he's an awesome mentor and brother in Christ. I love him dearly. He's taught me so much. And he just recently did a 40-day water-only fast. Can you imagine that? He's like a stick right now. That guy's like a stick. He'll be in October. If he hasn't gained his weight back, he'll be like a stick when he comes to speak in October. But we talked about it for 40 days. And he said the last week, he had to stay in bed the entire week and just spent his time praying because he had zero energy. And you say, why would he fast like that? He fasted because in Kenya, they're planting a new church in San Francisco. And he wanted to fast before they plant this church. So they're missionaries, sending missionaries to the United States to plant a church in San Francisco. And so he spent 40 days fasting over this, praying over this. And hearing his story and his journey and almost hallucinating and those kinds of things by the end of this 40 days, I was actually praying for him because I was actually very concerned for him. So I think about that and I think about Jesus. Even though Jesus was God, he was still God in the flesh. He still was in the flesh there. He still went through the same agony in this 40-day fast in the desert. And what does the devil do? The devil comes during the most agonizing time and tempts him with food. And it's at that moment when I think Jesus was probably just complete exhaustion when God sends angels to minister to him. In Matthew chapter 4, it says, "Then the devil left him," talking about Jesus, "and behold, angels came and ministered to him." Another time in Jesus' life, when he was in the garden and he was about to go to be crucified for the sins of man, he was getting ready to go through the most excruciating pain of all. He prayed to God, if there's any other way to do this plan without me going to the cross, then let's see if we can make that work out, you know. But Jesus prayed, "But not my will, but yours be done." So there was this agonizing time with Jesus right before going to the cross. And God sends an angel to minister even to Jesus. It says in Luke 22, it says, an angel from heaven appeared to him and strengthened him. Now, I know this seems like a strange topic. And I've never seen an angel before, or at least not one that I've ever been aware of. Never had an angel talk to me. I've never seen one. I was just thinking back over my life, and one story that comes to my mind was about 25 years ago. My father passed away, and he was 50 years old, died at a young age. He's my age now. And I was 25 years old, and he asked me to preach his funeral. And so I did. And to this day, it still was the single hardest thing that I've ever done as a pastor, is for me, a grieving son, trying to help grieving family members and friends and in our church family there. It was overwhelming for me. And I when I was on the stage and I was speaking, I was trying to help other people grieve while inside, you know, I was just broken. And I literally just kind of fell apart on the stage and lost it, as you can imagine. And I just stopped and prayed, and all of a sudden there was this peace that just came over me that's just hard to even understand. It's hard to comprehend. I've not really experienced anything like that before or even since then. And so I was able to carry on, and I went through with the message, and I don't really remember what I said, but hopefully I helped some people, and we went through that. And after the service was over, I had a friend of mine, and he's a normal guy. He's not a sensationalist. He's not a weirdo, you know. But he came up to me and he goes, Mitch, he goes, when you had this moment of breakdown, he goes, I could see an angel over top of your head, and that was when you carried on. And I don't know. I hadn't thought about that story in years, except for when I was preparing for this. But as I read through Scripture and as I think about the design of God for angels, I think it's very possible that when we're going through the trials and the struggles in this world, we already know that there's a spiritual war that's going on around us, the hearts and souls of men, between demons and angels. We know that. It's very possible that God sends angels to tend to you when you're going through these trials and troubles. So maybe you're going through a marriage challenge. Maybe you're going through a financial challenge. Maybe you're going through a health challenge. Maybe you're going through an addiction challenge. Whatever the season is in your life, maybe you're going through bullying at school. And right now in the heavenly realms, there are angels who are battling with you and for you, and they want to encourage you and they want to lift you up. The most important thing I would say is that you also, if you've put your hope and trust in Jesus Christ, you have the Holy Spirit inside of you. And that what you see in this world is not all that there is, as we wrap this series up. And the last scripture I'll leave you with is this in Psalm 34:7. It says, the angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him, and he delivers them. So, and everything I see in Scripture, it's only the people who have put their hope and trust in Jesus that the angels are doing battle for. Only the people that have put their hope and trust have angels that are guarding them. That's what I see. So if you've never put your hope and you've never put your trust in Jesus Christ, you're not going to be touched by an angel. You know? Did you not get that reference? Touched by an angel? Is everybody under 40 in here? Like, but he does want you to know the highway to heaven. All right, if you don't know those two references, ask somebody that's got wrinkles. They'll know. They'll know. They'll know what that means. But here's the truth, not being snarky or funny, but the highway to heaven is this. That Jesus Christ is the ultimate, the only supreme creator over all, and the one to whom our worship should be directed to. And it's because of Jesus coming down from heaven in the form of man, living a sinless, perfect life, making the final sacrifice of all sacrifices, so that you and I, in our sin, when we put our hope and our trust in Jesus Christ, we have the hope of freedom in this world, and we have the hope of eternal salvation when we die in heaven. And when we put our hope and when we put our trust in Jesus Christ, He gives us the Holy Spirit that lives inside of us. And according to Scripture, from Genesis all the way to Revelations, He has angels that are battling for us and ministering to us and encouraging us, all the while worshiping God. So, this wraps up our series on supernatural. What are you going to do with this, that there's more out there than what we see? What are you going to do with this? I want us to think about this. I want us to spend some time together as a family, as a community, breaking bread together right now. Maybe we spend some time praying together as a family. So what we do at River Run is we have communion during this time, and communion is off on the sides over here. If you're a believer, we invite you to join. Maybe you want to go as a family. Maybe you want to go as an individual. Maybe you're sitting around some folks. You want to take communion together. We were doing that in first service. It was pretty cool. And so maybe you can grab some folks that you know and just go and go together and take communion together. There's some power in that. This is not just about Sunday mornings, you know. This is about living this life together as believers. And so let's do that together at the communion tables. Maybe you want to talk further. You have something that you want to pray with. Maybe you want to pray. That you want to invite God into your heart this morning and talk about what that looks like in your life. We'd love to pray with you over that. Maybe you have a prayer request for healing. Maybe, I don't know what it is, but whatever it is for you, I'd love to pray with you. We'll be over here at the cross over on your right-hand side. We'll be over here, and we'd love to pray with you during that time. Maybe you want to just sit right where you're at and pray and just kind of reflect on this and ask God what He has for you during this moment. All right, let me pray for you, and then we'll move. Father, thank you for your word. And even it's so mind-boggling for me, God, that there are angels. My brain doesn't kind of wrap around your the mystery of you and how you've created things. And I'm glad, God, because I'm glad that we have a God that's so far, your ways are so far above my ways. I'm glad that we don't understand everything about you. I'm glad of your power, God, and your majesty and your glory and who you are. I'm glad we have lots of questions. It just shows how magnificent you are and outside the box that you are. So God, we want to worship you right now. We thank you for what you've done through Jesus that gives us access to call you Father, for what he's done on the cross. And so we just remember that together. We come together as family, as community, as our neighbors coming together. We come together right now. We just remember that. So we lift this time up to you. In the name of Jesus, amen.